women's shir, Sunday night, Shara Avodas Elokim, Shara Bitocha, Shara Avodas Elokim, Chavos Alavos. So we're just learning Shara Bitocha with the men. That's the nightly 10-minute learning. And Chavos Alavos, okay, I don't want to get off on a tangent. He says, you know, a person has bechira, he makes decisions, and a person, he has a very interesting insight into bechira, when he says, Bechira is the decision-making process of what to do, and the plan, how it's going to happen. It's a keen insight. Like I could say, you know, I make a decision, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock and go to Minyan. But if I don't have a game plan, i.e. an alarm clock, I don't have a plan. I just say, I'll be talking to Hashem that I'm going to wake up. No. You have, Bechira entails a decision and a game plan. Very, very keen insight. And then he says, the third thing is success, that you indeed wake up, that you indeed, you went to the hospital to visit someone, they were there and the hospital let you in, right? You make a decision to go to a shir and, you know, and your car starts and goes and you get there, or your feet take you there. He says, that's up to Hashem, that's not up to you.
That's the
Siyata Neshama. He says, that then it becomes an area for bitachon, or for davening. You always have to daven. You could prepare a shir, you could prepare a speech, and you can prepare. You have to daven to Hashem that it should come out correctly, even in Bechira. In other things, for sure, you're relying on Hashem, and part of that is to daven to Him. It's Bechira, which is the Chiddush, because in Bechira, it's your area. Hashem butts out, he says. Hashem butts out and says, Kol HaKavod, it's up to you. You make the decisions. So he says, that's the decision, but it doesn't... And then he says the planning, which is like a side point, but it's an amazing insight that you have to plan. You didn't really choose if you didn't make a game plan. That's the insight.
Is there a difference between the planting, the ideas coming from Hashem, or the decision to do it?
The decision. What do you mean the idea? We're talking about the decision. Mm-hmm. You mean the idea how you're going to do it? Well, that's from Hashem to give you. Should there be an alarm clock? Or should you ask your child to wake you up? Or should you, you know, that's already the yuzmah, as it's called in Hebrew, of how to do it, I guess, would be like anything else, you know, that's from Hashem. But you have to come up with a game plan. That's the, I think that's a chiddush. And without that, you're lacking in bechira. It's not pshat, oh, I'm not smart enough to have figured it out. It's not a question of intelligence. It's a question of if you really decided to do something, you're going to have a game plan. If you don't have a game plan, you didn't really. Then it's just, you know, it's superficial. You didn't really decide anything.
That's wishing.
How much of a game?
What?
It's more like wishing.
Yeah.
How much of a game plan would you consider?
A game plan that should work if all goes well.
You don't know if it's going to.
Right. Right. So the one that should work.
I didn't fit into that.
Why? It has to. You have to have a game plan.
Oh, I did all the preparation, but how it's going to be?
That's what he said. That's up to Hashem. That's not up to you. That's exactly his point. You want to know how much of a game plan do you have to have? That's already can be subjective. You know, if we talk about waking up, I could talk about an alarm clock. But you're talking about making aliyah where there's 100 things that have to click, so then I would need every person gets a different answer. You know what? You know, at what point did you do enough and now rely on Hashem? Or at one point you're just wishing and there's nothing there?
But if you don't know certain things in the game plan, then you have to say, well, it's up to Hashem. He will lead me.
Not everything. No. Sometimes it's more basic. If a person comes here and says, I don't want to give examples because every person could be different. There could be a person who says, I'm coming here, I don't know how I'm going to earn a living. For some people, they're being extremely foolish and silly and doing an aveira. And for some people, some people just by nature they're very capable people and they have skills. Mm-hmm. They just don't know exactly what they're going to end up doing. So they say, you know, I'm going to come. I'm sure something's going to turn up because I can do this and I can do that. And you know, and he sort of has a. He just doesn't know how it's going to lemaisa happen, but he has a basic game plan. For some people, that is enough, mm-hmm. and they should go.
He knows he'll find, and then he does.
Again, this is a subjective, I feel. I don't know. If I was advising someone, I would give different people different answers. Some people shouldn't come. Even if you come when you have a job contract signed, you have to daven to Hashem, it should work out. I know people that came and, you know, after 6 months, the job disappeared.
And they went back.
Some did, some didn't. Some did, yeah. Okay, let's... Let's continue with Shara Avodas Elokim. Wow, we can't seem to finish Perek Dalet. And we learned, he's talking about different madregas of Ovdei Hashem. And we learned last time the ninth madrega, the ninth level, which is like the person's perfect. Almost perfect. And what's the flaw? Why is there a number 10? It's not just he could have a top 10 list. That was a joke. And no one even...
We thought it was a deep Torah.
Top 10 list? Nobody ever heard of top 10? It's not just he could have a top 10 list. There's something wrong. He's counting them out. And anyway, number 9 is a... We're going to go on to number 10 now. Number 9 is a character flaw. Because you have the biggest people in Tanakh who are tzaddikim and talmidei chachamim and yirei Hashem and everything, but he calls it zvuvei moves, like a poisonous fly, where you have a character flaw, whether it's gaiva, it's very hidden, it's very subtle. Yerovim ben Nevot, Korach, Achitofel, Doeg ha'adomi, these are famous figures in Tanakh that Chazal speak of in the most superlative of terms, in terms of their knowledge, Torah knowledge, in terms of their closeness to Hashem, in terms of their intelligence, even their tzidkus. Yerovim ben Nevot was considered a big tzaddik, but he had a character flaw that he never worked on. That's if you learn Nach, he had a character flaw of he wanted recognition. He didn't want to lose what the Navi promised him to be Melech. He didn't want to lose that, and he lost everything. Everything went downhill because that's number 9 is a character flaw. He seems to say that the biggest character flaw, he says, I wish upon you, he talks about a Chacham telling his Talmidim that if you had no Averus at all, I would worry my head off that you have the biggest Avera of all. So they said, what are you talking about? So he said, Gaiva. Then you would become proud, you would become arrogant, you would feel condescending to other people, you would feel like you made it, you did it. So this is the statement that he made. If you had no Averis, then I'd start worrying about you. So, okay, that's number 9 that you could have. And this is something... Again, nowadays, I think I said this already, I'll say it again, and I said it to the men. There's a Musa movement in Europe that started, we'll call it 100 years ago, give or take a couple decades, not being a historian now. And it met a lot of opposition. It was to devote specific time in the day to learn Musa. To learn Masil Sushorim, to learn Chayvus Halavos, to learn and to contemplate and to contemplate oneself, to be introspective. And it's hard to imagine. You read books, Tnuas HaMusar, a famous 5-volume work called Tnuas HaMusar. Like, it's hard to imagine the opposition that it instigated, and the machlokes, and there was, you know, they almost like the Hasidim and the Snagdim, like Hasidus. They thought it was like we don't even understand it now. Like, what's the problem? There was a very strong shita that by learning Torah, you're going to be okay. You learn Torah and you're going to be okay. Now, because Torah has everything in it. It has ethics, it has Musar, it has Midos, everything's in Torah. I'm talking now, I guess, from a man's perspective who learns Gemara and Shulchan Aruch. And so the Muslim movement, huge fights, huge machloks in the Torah part yeshivas. Then World War II like stopped the whole, no more machlokas. Now they lost and they won. They lost as a movement, but everything they said became accepted. Every yeshiva now in the world has a Musa Seder. Any time you go to yeshiva, there's a Musa Seder, half hour in the morning, half hour in the afternoon, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. That's all only because of the Musa movement. It was recognized, and now Baruch Hashem, we have to thank Hashem, because certainly now with the wisdom of hindsight, they're like, where would we be without learning Musa? Like, what were they thinking? They're on a higher madrega where they learned Torah and they connected to everything in Torah. And now we say, like, you know, it's just not going to do it for you. We're on a lower madrega, but the reality is that Hashem made this Muslim movement and Rabbi Sol Salanter and everything, and they lost all the battles and they won the war. Okay, now I say in the last 20 years or 15 years, in my lifetime, there's another movement. I'll call it the self-help movement. What does it mean? It's like learning Musa's not enough. Because I have people coming to me every day, and they say, you know, I can learn the Masil Sisharim, and I can learn this Sefer, I can learn that Sefer, and I can... But it doesn't help me in my life, you know? Tomorrow, I'm going to have life, and I'm going to get angry, and I'm going to lose patience. And like, we need something even more focused, and Musar has become too intellectual, too... It's not focused enough. We need workshops. In other words, we need practical hands-on. And that's why now you have, in the last 10 years, maybe 15, you have a plethora of books coming out, like Reb Zeila Pliskin's books. I told you in Hebrew, Chobos Odom Volomo. We made now in the shul, the Vade Musar, which is like very hands-on. Very, take you by the hand and say, okay, now this week I want you to keep a record of the times you got angry. I'm like, really, mamish? Like, that's what it takes for character development. For hundreds, thousands of years, learning Torah was enough. Then for 50, 60, 70 years, they recognize Musar. Like every yeshiva learns Musar. And in my lifetime, okay, I'm an old man already, but in my lifetime, even that's not enough. It's not enough, because I have people that tell me what to learn. I say, learn Masil Sisharim. He says, come on, Rabbi, that doesn't do anything for me. I mean, I'll learn it, but I might get inspired by it, but like, then what? What do I do after I'm inspired? That's what everybody wants to know. What do I do after I'm inspired? What do I do? Tell me what to do. I'm gonna have all these nisyonos. I don't even know what's right and what's wrong. So then you have all these books. I recommend all of Rabbi Pliskin's books. I think they're wonderful. I think they're marvelous. They're very to the point. The stories, full of stories. The anger book, tremendous book. You know, his book Anger. Yeah. Tremendous book. Happiness, anger. Then he has the pocket books, you know, persevere, you know. Patience, serenity, courage. You know, that's what we need nowadays. We need like stories and examples. You have the book Battle Plans by Riegler. It's written by two women. I don't, but it is one of the finest books I've ever read in terms of hands-on fighting the Yetzirah. But it's co-authored by Rebbetzin Heller and Sarah Rigler. Mm-hmm. And it's called Battle Plans. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's an art scroll book, but don't hold that against me. It's a wonderful book. It is so real, so down to earth, and very, very real. It's a deep book. It's based on Ramchal. It's not a deep book, but it's not a simple book. It's deep. It's very intellectual. It's very. Rebbetzin Heller did her here for the book based on, I forgot what, and Rigler did it based on Ramchal. She did it based on Sodik, maybe. I don't know. I forgot already. Anyway, it's a wonderful book. Anyway, getting back to number 9, this is what has to be rooted out. He's talking about a person that has just about reached the peak of perfection in terms of their serving Hashem for the right reason and recognizing who Hashem is and what Hashem wants from us. And like everything's cool and he's like good, he's ready to roll. And he has a character flaw. And he just never dealt with it, he says. He never dealt with it. He didn't realize it. It's like a little zvuvei modus. Like a fly can spoil an entire jug of sweet-smelling oil. That's what Shlomo HaMelech says. So it's really, for years I've wanted to make the Vaadei Musar in the shul. And it's like it never happened. But I don't think I ever did number 2. I wanted to, but I don't think I ever planned how it's going to happen. So I'm not surprised that it never happened. And then it just came together. Because I always knew how, I always had this person in mind, Rabbi Dolinsky. And I just, so this is what you have to do. You have to say, at 9 o'clock tomorrow, I'm picking up a phone and I'm calling him up. Yeah, but I don't have his phone number. Come on, everybody, admit it. And he's not in the phone book, and how am I going to get his number? And then all of a sudden, a year can go by. A year can go by. It's not a good time to call now. It's too early in the morning. It's too late in the afternoon. He's probably eating supper now. Probably want to sleep now. You know, you start with that. My sister, I have a sister that's a principal in a school in Flatbush. She tells me, like, you know, she has to call a parent and an unpleasant task. It's never the right time. It's either too early or they're eating supper. You just have to just do it. Just do it. Just pick up the phone and call. And Hashem just brought it together, and it happened. And now he's in shul, and so I'm very happy about that. Okay, let's move on. Maybe we'll finish the fourth parak today. But Madrego Hasiris. Now he's going to describe the highest level of an Oved Hashem. His Barra Etzlam Amitos HaTorah. They have clarified to themselves. This is always, he goes back and he, like a legal contract. Everything that has been set up to here is true. Right? You ever see a contract? Mm-hmm. Every paragraph starts off with, not to the exclusion of everything. Mm-hmm. So he goes through everything again. They have clarified to themselves, Amitos HaTorah, that the Torah is true and Hashem gave it to us at Har Sinai. They're aware that Hashem rewards and punishes the onesh aleihem mishnei olam, and they're aware of an olam hazeh and an olam haba. They believe in it. They know it's not about, even if things are good and you're doing mitzvahs, it's not about just having nachas from your children. There's a much larger picture going on than just what happens in this world. And they have woken up from ignoring any aspect of their avodah. For all libo mashachiyavibol labore, this is like quintessential chavis alavus. They understand what they owe Hashem. This is the fundamental principle in Shara Avodas Elokim. They understand what they owe Hashem, legodel tuvo v'chazno aleihem, because of all the good that Hashem has bestowed upon them. So they understand that, and they're makir tov, and they understand that they should be serving him because of that, as a way of saying thank you. Although they're aware of schar v'onesh, but that's not the point. They're not governed by that. That's not what motivates them. Achmiaru el avodas l'alokim l'shmo l'gadel l'romeim v'kosef uv'lev of shalem. They're really into praising Hashem and thanking Hashem and being makir tov to Hashem. Bavur yediyosam also. They know Hashem. This is something that is not talked about in polite company. But a Jew has an obligation to learn about Hashem and know Hashem. That he does mida keneged mida, what he likes, what he doesn't like. That's really what our learning consists of. We're learning about Hashem. And that's really, it sounds weird, it sounds Kabbalistic, it sounds unattainable, it sounds maybe like Avodah Zarah. But it's not true. It's not true. The whole Torah, learning, all the learning that is done, we're learning about Hashem. We're getting to know Him. The Yodatas Hashem, Yodiyas Hashem. This is our obligation to know Hashem, to know what makes Him tick, not in terms of His existence, but in terms of His likes and dislikes, what finds favor in His eyes, what doesn't find favor in His eyes. And this is what they want to know. Yudiyosam also vakarosam asinyono. Vizos hamayla haroma, this is the ultimate. This is the peak. Shebemadregos anshe haTorah. Vizos mailas hanavim vachasidim. This is like really, you're talking now, you're really up there. This is not regular people that you see walking around in the street. This is nevi'im chasidim asher nimsru l'Elokim that are totally... They feel, what it means to be totally nimsru l'Elokim, to be totally given over to Hashem. It means everything you do. We can really, Chovas Halvavos, I've said 20 times, 30 times, 40 times, 50 times, is written many times he talks about the extreme. Not the extreme, I call it a chas v'shalom, it's not a good word, it has bad connotations. The ideal. He talks about the ideal. And he wants you to strive to the ideal. And he wants you to know the ideal. And if we can't maintain that type of behavior 24/7, but we can do it once a day, we have a glimmer of what the ideal is supposed to be. And something comes up and you say, I'm gonna do this L'shem Shemayim. I'm gonna do this without telling anybody what I did. You do that once a day, that's unbelievable. He's talking so that you should know the ideal. That's why he's telling us the 10th Madrega. So the person on the 10th Madrega just feels like a tool in the hands of Hashem to do the will of Hashem. They don't have any sense of self, they're bittel, what the Tanya calls bittel to Hashem. The Korsuim Obris, they made a pact with Hashem. The Sacharuim, or they do business with Him. The funny, funny Lashon. It means they do things, they say, look, we want to find favor in your eyes. We want things to be good between us. They don't take Hashem for granted, but Hashem cares about what they do. That's a yesod in the Chavis HaLevavos. That maybe is really a little far, and if we ever stop to think about it, Hashem cares about what we do. And so they they say, you know, we'll do this, we'll do that. V'eskimu olav, v'nosetlo nafshosom, uv'nehem, v'kinyonim, v'tanugayim. Everything means more to them than, this means more to them, their relationship with Hashem means more to them than anything else in the world, including their children, their possessions. That's very hard. This is really, really hard. V'amdu be'emunosom b'meshe kiblu al nafshosom. The reason it's so hard, I don't know the reason, I mean, probably the most intense, maybe ideally the most intense feelings people are supposed to have is for their spouses. But in my experience, meaning people, seeing people, talking to people, probably the most intense feelings we have is for our children. Whether that's selfish or whether it's from the Boreal, there's no question about it. And it really should give us a picture of how Hashem feels about us. Without going in, we're very intense with that feeling. Any normal person, I'm talking about normal people, a normal person has the most intense feelings of love, protectiveness, wanting what's good. If you ever want a picture, a picture of how Hashem feels about us, you just really can analyze how we feel about our children. And of course, then you have to multiply it by like a million times. But that's it. That's what we feel like, right? That's what we feel like. And this is really across the board when we tell our children no, they can't do certain things, and they start bursting out in tears. It's like, that's how Hashem feels. What you feel when you tell your kid no and he bursts out in tears, and those feelings you have, that mixture of pain, and you want to wipe the tears off his face, but you know it's good for him. And you know you're not going to give in, and maybe you should give in. No, you're not going to give in because you know it's ultimately what's good for him, but your heart goes out to him because he's crying, and you want to give him a consolation prize, and maybe you want him to understand what you're doing, but he really can't, you know. And like, that's Hashem. That's Hashem. That's Hashem with us. And that's why Hashem gives us these intense feelings. So he says, but really our feelings towards Hashem has to trump that. Our feeling towards Hashem has to trump our feelings towards everything, towards our spouses, towards our possessions, even our cars and our children. V'omdu be'emunosom b'meshe kiblu al nafshosom. They're ready to be Moser Nefesh, Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. V'alayim omer akosu v'sfuli chasidoi, kol ser b'risi olei zadach. That's what this pasuk is talking about, that level. I want to finish the fourth parak today. Zos tzur, now is a new paragraph, the last paragraph in Parak Dalet. He sums up, but he says things here that are important to hear. Zos tzur sehora hatoria. We haven't yet. Remember, the Chavis Halavos split Avodas Hashem into two categories. He just finished a few prokim, and it took us a few months to make our way through Ha'orah Toronis. That's the laws of the Torah, the rules, the do's, the don'ts. Hashem wants you to do this, he doesn't want you to do that. So he went through that. But then there's Zos Tzuras Ha'orah HaToriyah. But he's going to explore that whole other half that he holds as the ultimate madrega, Ahara Sichlis, where you understand everything you're doing and you're connected through your seichel to what you want to be doing. But this is Ahara Toriyah, madrega sanchei chokhma b'sefer haTorah. It comes through learning, because the Torah is where it's written, these do's and don'ts. We went through the levels of belief in the Torah, belief in Hashem. The Efsher Shiyimotzi B'Madregos Anche HaTfunos B'Torah Zulosi Masha Siparnu. He says, when I made my list of 10 people, 10 types, That's not all there is. There's probably 100 types, because in between every type, there's more and more subtleties. He says, but Ach Zocharnu, Hanimtza Olav Rov Hamon Ha'uma. I figure with these 10, I've covered most of the nation. I've covered just about everybody. There's always subtleties and differences, but these are the 10 basic categories that will, I'm sure, he says, cover just about everyone. Now, he says, Ubusachreinu also, when we know these 10 madregas, he's probably bothered by this question, like, what shaykhas do we have? You know, once we're past 7, we sort of got lost in the dust. Ubusachreinu also, what is the full purpose of my telling you these 10 madregas? Many of them we really have no shaykhas to. To'alto muchach, a clear to'elis comes out of it. Lemavakesh aderech hayeshora, for someone seeking the path, how to live. For who, look what he says, fantastic point, unbelievable point. Kasher tinsa bo mailo shukora ve'leha, when you find yourself almost by a certain madrega, you're not quite there. Yeda mashasmuchalom in atchunos biyishtadel la'alos eleha. He says, I told you this list because I want you to strive to improve. And you should realize, oh, if I work on myself, I can reach this higher madrega. He listed out 10 things. We just learned the 9th and the 10th tonight. We didn't even learn the 9th. We just went over its point. He says, you'll know the 10 levels. It will make you strive. The Chazal Shalom doesn't want you to fall asleep. He wants you to strive to improve, to work on improving. So he says, if I tell you the 10 levels, so you'll say, oh, you know? It's like your kids, you know, you're in the car, when are we going to be by the bathroom? So you say, oh, rest stop, 30 miles. Or in America, here's 50 kilometers. So like this, no, it works like magic. That's what Shalom is saying. You say, okay, you know, when we get to a bathroom, you'll go. He goes crazy, he doesn't know what to do. But if you see a sign that says 50 kilometers to rest stop, see? So that's what Shalom says he's doing. He's giving you a sign, you know. Another... You know, you work a little, you get there. You know, he's telling you the madrigas. You say, oh, you know where I am? I'm between 3 and 4. And if I just work a little harder, you know, I'll make it to 4. So that's number one. He's saying, I'm telling you maybe things that you're not holding by, and maybe you'll never be holding by. But you'll see where you're holding, and you'll... The Chazal Shalom wants you to work to improve. He doesn't want people to stay static. It's hard. We're so busy with life. Yeah, we're busy with life and with everything that goes on in life, whether it's the mortgage or the children or school or broke the refrigerator broke right after the warranty ran out. You know, that's life. But within life is all the nesiyonos of life, getting angry, having patience, being mekabel b'simcha, having bitachon. This is all, you know, doing what Hashem wants, not violating the will of Hashem, doing it for the right reason. Okay, these are higher. So now you know. He says, now I've told you, you know where you're holding, and you'll know what to strive for. Very, very, very chashuv point. That you're just about by, he'll know what's next. So he'll try. Like this, he'll sleep. He'll say, okay, this is where I am. This is what I am. Love me for what I am. No, I want you to know, come on. You know, you're almost by the finish. You're almost by the next step. Work, do it, you'll get there. The Isboralo, also another reason, this is so great. He says, you should know ma beino ubeinatchuno el yonam inatchunos. He says, I'm doing this for another reason. I don't want somebody to say, I'm going to the moon, that's it. I'm going for broke, I want to be a Navi. I want to be a tzaddik. So today they're holding by number one or two or three. They say, okay, they get inspiration. They went to a good shir, maybe even mine, who knows. And they say, I want to be a tzaddik. Starting tomorrow morning, I'm going to be a tzaddik. I'm going to do everything right. I'm going to, my mom is, you're not going to recognize me. It was just, I came to tell you not to do that. Because if you know that there are seven rungs between 3 and 10, you know what happens to a person who's on rung number 3 and tries to go on to rung 10. You know what happens? He falls. He can't do it. You can't do it. You can't go from 3 to 10. So I'm telling you, there's 3 and there's 4 and there's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and that's how you have to do it. You can't jump to number 10. It's tremendous. Just these two lines is worth the whole. Two reasons I am telling you these things that seem like pie in the sky, wacko, not no gaya. What are you talking about? Leave me alone. Number one is because you to know where you're holding, and you could raise yourself to another level in Avodas Hashem. So go study the 10 things and say, oh, this is where I am. Somewhere between like 2 and 3. They say, oh, I can reach number 3. I'm there, I'm almost there. And then he says, don't go to number 8. Don't even go to number 4. You're just gonna fall. You're not gonna do it. V'yisborelo, so he should get clear, how much distance there is between him, where he's holding, and the highest level. So you'll try to get there. Madrego achar madrego. You won't make the mistake of jumping. You'll see, Chavizalova spelled it out for me. Next level, next level, next level. Let me work on believing in Olam Haba. Let me work on realizing that my actions have an impact on my nitzchius. It's not something that's only nogeya, this temporal world. That's a year. I just gave you a year's work. That's a year. Because we believe in Olam Haba, and if anybody asks me, I'll be shocked and horrified at the thought that I don't have. But to really do things because have Olam Haba in mind. There's much more at stake here, and much more involved than what's going on in this world, even as important as it is, and everything should work out, and everything should be good, and it should be done the right way, and people shouldn't get hurt. But like, there's a whole Olam Haba out there being determined by me now. So Madrego achar madrego. And then he says, V'yezer yoser kal olof. Make it easier. He says, besides the fact that you'll fall, it's impossible. It's too, you can't go from number 3 to 8. And then you won't do anything. You'll get depressed, and you'll say it's too hard, and you won't do anything. Like this, I'm giving you the rungs to show you that it's attainable. You just have to go to the next rung, right? It's like one day at a time. That's all. One year at a time. One decade at a time. You just have to go to the next rung. Don't worry about rung 10. So it'll make it easier. So you won't give up before you start. You won't fall. He's saying so many things here in one sentence. You won't fall. First of all, you'll strive. That's fantastic. You make a list. Number one is you'll end up striving your whole life, which I want you to do. I want you to strive, grow, steig, we call it, improve. You're always in a state of ferment, of moving, of becoming better. You won't make the mistake of jumping to a madrega that's much higher than where you are now and falling. You won't get depressed at the thought of getting to number 10, because you see, it's not a question of number 10. I have number 3, and that's, I'm almost by that. And the number 4, that's not so hard. Once I'm by 3, it's not that much of a leap to number 4, and etc. Right, so that's easier, not so hard. He's more able to handle it. He's more able to do it. He's more able to accomplish it. Okay, that's the very valid. Are we learning next week? I don't know. Next week. No, next week is the night before Erev Tisha B'Av.
Monday
night's really Tisha B'Av.
It's fine. I don't know. Ladies are
not doing laundry. We're not cooking. We're not.
Okay, so
weddings.
Okay. So you want to learn? I don't know. It just feels like a funny time. But if you're game, I'm game. Okay. But maybe let's think of after that. Maybe think taking a break till L. Everything there. Maybe we'll learn next week. It's a good thing to do before Tisha B'Av. You know, self improvement. We'll start the next parak, and then maybe we'll take a break. I'm thinking till L. Like sort of regroup, put out the ads again.
Yes.
Okay.
Can one cook with one
during
the 9 days?
Can one cook?
Cook with one. Cook with it.
As an ingredient?
Yes.
No. I don't know.